Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Dr. Molina Show. We have a very special guest with us this evening, and he was with us last month. This is part two. It's the title of this broadcast is Replacing Deficient Hormones, Part Two, Men and Women's Health. Joining myself this evening is my very special guest, Dr. John Dorsey, a board-certified orthopedist, and he is a preventative specialist and a Southern California leading specialist in anti-aging. Welcome, Dr. Dorsey.
Hello, Nancy Molina. How are you this evening?
Very blessed. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Very blessed.
Thank you.
Well, we're continuing again. I appreciate you coming on last month, and this evening we're going to discuss a little bit about men and women's health. I did want to let you know that the archives are available to our listeners. They can, if they missed the show last month, they can go ahead and download the archive and catch up to us this evening. Now, Dr. Dorsey, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, Nancy, as you know, I grew up in West Virginia, and I'm an avid Mountaineer football fan this year. I grew up there, went to medical school back there, and after getting out of medical school, I joined the Navy, and I was a Navy doctor for a few years, and left the Navy as a lieutenant commander, and came to California, and did a residency out here in orthopedic surgery. And I've been doing orthopedic surgery for almost 30 years now, and in the last 5 years, I developed an interest in anti-aging. Because I think that I know that it's done a lot for me. I ran into another orthopedic surgeon colleague who was doing this in his practice, and he got me started. He told me that his mother was sitting in Leisure World watching television all day in a wheelchair, and once he put her on the appropriate hormones and hormone replacement therapy, she now rides a bus down to his office to pester him. So I said, well, that's what I want to be doing. I'm 95 years old. He said, well, don't wait till you're 95. Start now.
Start now.
Anyway, why wait? Why don't you get your hormone levels down to a 30-year-old, and you'll feel a lot better. You'll be a lot stronger and hit the golf ball a lot further. So it sounded like good information to me. I researched it for a while and reluctantly started in on one thing at a time, and now I'm going full course with what he has recommended.
Well, that's the thing I like about you, Dr. Dorsey, is you look into something, you grab it by the teeth, and I basically feel you're the Indiana Jones of anti-aging because you try it and you get involved and you're out there as an advocate.
I didn't jump in. I put my toe in the water and tested the water slowly, but I realized after getting started that that was the thing to do.
Well, that's so unlike so many physicians today is to look into it for themselves and then, of course, go ahead and advocate it for their patients. So this evening, let's talk a little bit about men's health when they're seasoned. And we want to talk a little bit about symptoms that they may not recognize are related to aging. It is not a normal process to age or to season, and that something can be done about it. So I'll let you go ahead and take off on that one. Let's discuss a little bit about some of the symptoms or conditions of men.
Well, like, you know, in men and women are a little bit different, but I think in men that even in myself, I noticed that I was tired in the afternoons in the office of having a long office that particular day, along about 3 or 4 o'clock. I was wishing it was 5:30 or 6, and I'd kind of have a decreased energy level, and I felt like I was really tired. I was struggling at the end of the day, and I also realized that I did not have the not only the energy, but I didn't have mental alertness I should be having at that time of day, and I just thought something was going on. I wasn't quite sure what it was. I was having troubles with remembering things. I was having some memory lapses, couldn't remember where my car keys were or things like that. And I think that a lot of men, when they get to be over 50, we've found that the hormone levels do drop. And so I started, as I said before, I talked with the other colleague of mine, I started doing some of the things that he had recommended, which was, number one, take some androgens. And so I started taking testosterone. And within, I would say, probably 3 weeks, I noticed a profound difference. I didn't have much in the way of libido at the time, and I had no sex drive. And right away, that picked up. I noticed that I was starting to lose weight around my abdomen, and we do know that in men, the fat gathers and collects around the intestinal organs in the abdomen. That's why you see so many men out there on the golf course with a great big pot belly. Women don't get that so much. Women collect fat in their skin, subcutaneous tissues, in their arms and legs, in other areas, whereas men, it all collects around the abdominal organs.
So I noticed, pardon? The symptoms that you brought up, just for the lay people that are listening in tonight, the symptoms are so vague. You mentioned stamina, fatigue, cognitive or memory impairment. It wasn't until I got to the last part that then I would have thought I would have put together, and a layperson could have put together without a physician, well, gee, that would be hormonal imbalance. But the previous, I think the general layperson out there would just chalk it up to, well, that's old age, I got it.
Well, that's what I did. I chalked it up to, well, I thought not even to old age. I just thought, well, it's just natural. It's been a long week. It's been a long day. I just didn't realize that I had this problem, because when I talked to my friend, he said, you need to be on hormone replacement therapy. And I said, why? I said, I feel I'm healthy. I've never been sick. I've never been in the hospital. I've had no operations. I don't have anything wrong with my hormones. He said, well, why don't you have them tested and find out where you're at? And I thought, not a bad idea, because sure enough, I was way low on most of the things. And some simple things that men can do that don't even have to see a doctor for, to get things over the counter. Just going to their local drugstore and picking up some DHEA, which is a precursor to testosterone, and taking some melatonin, which will help you sleep better. I was having difficulty sleeping at night. I was waking up in the middle of the night, going to the bathroom two or three times a night. And when I started taking testosterone, of course, people don't realize this, but it'll actually shrink the prostate gland. It's good for prostatic hypertrophy.
Okay.
And once I got on this stuff, I was sleeping through the night and not having those problems any longer.
Okay, so we have symptoms. We have a couple conditions now. So some of the symptoms you brought up, you also brought up a condition, which is the prostate hypertrophy. You want to explain that?
Well, as we age, the prostate grows and gets larger, whereas some things, when we age, get smaller, like our muscles and our muscle mass, and even our brain will start to shrink up as we age. But the one thing that gets larger is the prostate gland. And the prostate gland, which males have, is...
Now, that's the male sex gland.
Well, it's not really
the
sex gland. The testicle is the sex gland, but it might be referred to that as, among the laypersons, as the male sex gland. Mm-hmm. But the prostate gland, we're not really sure what its function is, but it's there. And I think the function is to keep men up all night.
Okay. But, because there's increased urinary frequency, and
the prostate starts to grow.
Nighttime.
You have to, when it starts to cut off the urethra, which takes the urine from the bladder through the penis into the receptacle, and as that enlarges, it blocks off the urethra, and then you have obstruction, and then you can't completely empty the bladder when you get up to go to the bathroom. And then, so that makes you get up two or three times during the night. In men, that becomes quite an inconvenience, and also probably for the wife who's having to wake up with you.
Now, it's not so much that I think the layperson believes that testosterone is a culprit in the growth of that prostate tissue, but really it's what it converts to, isn't it?
That's exactly right, because what we found out is as we age, our testosterone level diminishes. And by the time we're 50 years of age, we're producing less than half that we produced when we were, say, 20 or 30 years of age.
Okay.
And with the level of testosterone decreasing, the prostate will probably increase in its size. And we have found that there's actually a relationship to testosterone supplementation to diminishing the size of the prostate gland itself.
So when we're talking about a condition that hormone balancing or hormone deficiency can be related to, besides decreased libido, would be benign prostate hypertrophy or enlarged prostate.
And some patients think, and they've been told by their own personal physicians, that if testosterone is bad for you, it'll make the prostate grow, which is actually it does the opposite. That's because testosterone has been contraindicated in patients who do have prostatic cancer. So it might make the prostatic cancer itself grow, but it does not make the prostate gland grow. So there's a difference between the gland itself growing versus the prostatic cancer that we grow. So when you do have prostatic cancer, we cannot use replacement therapy with androgens, which includes testosterone.
Now, there's a little bit of talk starting out in the public now. Of course, it's always slow. Whatever the medical profession knows, it gets 15, 20 years before it gets to the public. But there's a little bit of talk about male menopause and some names that it's been given. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, male menopause, sometimes is referred to in the male as andropause, because androgens are the hormones that are produced by males and females as well. And these hormones are important for skin, muscle, and bone health. And when we age, we have a loss of those hormones. And so we refer to that as andropause, where in women we sometimes call it menopause.
Now,
it's kind of a play on words, a menopause, meaning M-E-N. I don't know why they call it menopause. I think it should be the other way around.
And there's a new term out there called ADAM, something about androgen deficiency in males, which actually is...
Which is really the same thing.
Because which is the same thing, right.
The males are getting tired, they have hair loss, they don't feel good, they're depressed. Their muscle mass is getting, their muscles are getting flabby. They're getting increased abdominal size. They'll say, well, my chest fell down to my stomach. And that's a very common expression that some men have. I used to have, my chest used to be up where it's supposed to be, and now it's down around my stomach. Well, it's because you're getting older and you're not producing the hormones you're supposed to be producing, or you're not eating the right types of foods, you're not exercising appropriately. So,
and we're also learning that the male belly is also a risk for a cardiac disease, that obesity around the belly and the high cholesterol makes them at risk.
Well, right. Obesity, you know, like when you first see it around your belly, that's the first place you're going to see it. But once the fat starts collecting in the abdominal organs, later it'll be collecting around your blood vessels, around the heart, in the mediastinum, and other areas of the body, because fat just tends to build up. Pretty soon there's no room, and so it moves elsewhere.
And that, of course, will lead to, one syndrome can lead to another syndrome, such as your insulin, your diabetes now, with the male.
That's correct, too.
Okay.
Type 2 diabetes is very common as we get older, if we're not watching our exercise, our diet, and other factors, and if there's a family history, then you might very well develop type 2 diabetes. And this is, it's just as important to treat that as the type 1, which is insulin-dependent diabetes.
So when a patient comes to your clinic, the Anti-Aging Associates, when they come to your center, a male patient, and they're in their late 50s, and they said, Doc, you know, I'm tired, I'm not thinking clearly, they have the little NBA basketball in front of them, or the beer belly, we'll call it, and they have, of course, the key, you know, decreased libido, which they may or may not bring up because they may be embarrassed. Who knows? But when they bring that up to you, you mentioned lab tests. What laboratory tests are you going to run as baselines for andropause, for male menopause?
Yeah, the baseline would be the baseline that most doctors would run on the patients, plus we'd also add something to that. So, for example, we'll get a Kim profile on someone, which will check the lipids, triglycerides, cholesterol. We'll check their liver function, the liver enzymes, their kidney function with creatinine and BUN, and a regular CBC, which is a complete blood count. And in addition to those things, we also want to find out what their testosterone level is, what their estrogen level is, and what their DHEA level is. And so we check all that out at the same time, and we do that by means of blood testing. Also, sometimes we'll use saliva testing and urine testing.
But it doesn't stop there. I understand that when you get the lab back, you're looking for optimal levels.
That's correct, because in the past we've done levels which would be optimal for someone who, for example, if you come in, you're 60 years of age, they say, well, your level should be such and such. And a 30-year-old would come in, they'll say, your level should be such and such. But I think a 6-year-old person would like to have a 30-year-old level. I mean, I certainly would. So I think that these levels they're talking about should be actually looked at a little bit differently, and we should actually go in and look to see what someone who is 30 years of age should be and not someone who's 60 or 70 years of age.
So what you're saying is then that person who's over 50 that comes in with a nagging libido, excessive fatigue, if they're just a little bit over or above the level, they still would benefit from testosterone supplementation.
Yes, I think that I think most males who are in their 50s, late 50s, and have those symptoms, we don't really want to treat the lab tests. We want to treat the patient. And it's the patient and the patient's symptoms. It's not the laboratory work or the x-rays. And as an orthopedic surgeon, We'll look at x-rays, but we don't treat x-rays. It's the first thing we learn when we're doing our residency training program, and not to treat x-rays or lab tests, but treat the person, treat the individual. Find out what that patient's symptoms are, and you treat the symptoms. And so if the lab work falls in within a normal range, the normal range, though, when you take 100 people and do a range on those people, you can have a normal range but still not be normal. You want to be, as you said earlier, optimal. And the optimal range is a lot different oftentimes than the normal range.
Something that's going to suppress their obvious their symptoms right now.
Correct.
And make them improve.
In my own situation that I had, when my lab testing came back, of course I was normal because I'm a healthy individual, but I was not optimal. And to get optimal, I had to go on to supplementation.
Mm. Now, you mentioned DHEA, another androgen.
Yes.
And it you know, I never see it tested. With my patients coming in, and I've done medical reviews, it's often not tested.
Yeah, we actually test for that, and we have the urine testing and both saliva testing for DHEA. And I think most males, and it's a very safe drug. It's an over-the-counter drug. It's a hormone that you can get by just going down to your local drugstore and picking it up. I think it's inexpensive. It's probably less than a few pennies a day. And it's worthwhile for almost everyone, and it's safe, and as I said earlier, it's very inexpensive, and 50 milligrams a day for a male and 25 for a female would be a good way to start.
So as with testosterone, for DHEA, the symptoms include decrease in libido and energy levels.
I have found that most of these hormonal levels and hormone symptoms are all due to a deficiency of any type of androgen and or estrogen. It runs pretty close. I mean, like, for example, thyroid has about 200 symptoms, and so does all the rest of them. They're all kind of run hand in hand.
Now, let's take the male over 50 again. With the lack of energy, lack of stamina, the cognitive decline, how'd you didn't know maybe that was a thyroid problem?
Well, you wouldn't know unless you did the testing. And that's why you do the testing, to find out where they are, where they're at. Get a baseline study on these individuals and find out exactly where the testosterone is, where the thyroid is, where the DHA is, and where the estrogen is, and then go from there.
Okay. So some of the symptoms then, for example, hypothyroidism, the low thyroid function, the standard test, the T3, T4, there might be some abnormalities of it. But those symptoms can mask the same symptoms as low androgen levels.
Exactly.
Okay. So in your center, at the Anti-Aging Center, you're going to go ahead. You mentioned the chem panel, and you mentioned the DHEA and the testosterone and the androgen hormones. But you're also going to run your endocrines. You're going to run for your thyroid. Interestingly enough, hypothyroidism can also create a loss of libido. So there's a host of symptoms that a patient over 50 or even younger can come in with, and unless you run the appropriate diagnostic study and include the male, for example, we're dealing with a male, the androgen levels, you're not going to know. They're not going to treat a complete picture of this patient. The patient's not going to get better.
That's exactly right. And some doctors have done what they call shotgun therapies, as they give them everything. Like a shotgun, they'll give them testosterone, thyroid, DHEA, and everything else that's available. Whereas I think that's not really the right track to be on. I think you find out where they are deficient, and then go along with that. As long as you're treating the symptoms, and as you mentioned, the symptoms are basically pretty much the same for deficiencies of any of these hormones.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, before we go into women's health, let's talk a little bit about something that I know is near and dear because you're an orthopedic surgeon, been one for 30 years now. Let's talk about osteoporosis. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, osteoporosis is a condition that's actually more commonly seen in women after menopause than men, but it's a loss of your mineralization in your bones, and you've lost the calcium content in your bone. And your bones become very fragile. They are prone to fracture, and so we see lots of hip fractures and wrist fractures in women and men as well, but usually it's seen more commonly in women than men. And it might be because the women don't seem to get out and exercise as much as men do. I just came off the golf course this afternoon. I think I maybe saw less than three or four women out there all day long, and probably saw 100 men. But I think that men are more exercise prone than women, and so that's one of the reasons we get osteoporosis is lack of exercise. Oftentimes the diet plays an important role. We're not eating the right types of foods, and we have to supplement ourselves with lots of calcium and magnesium and zinc in order to prevent this problem.
And we're leading into women's health, so you know why I said it. The women's health, we find that in order to regenerate bone tissue in women, especially those that have osteoporosis already, is because they lose hormones, and it seems to be more apparent in women. So they have that diminishing supply of hormone responsible for the continual regeneration of bone during our youth. And this is where we get into the progesterones and the estrogen. So let's go into women's health. Some of the women's conditions, pretty much same as a male, same symptoms, fatigue, stamina,
yes,
mental confusion.
Complain
but you got a female.
Hair loss, their hair is falling out, the hair is very thin, their skin isn't as bright as it used to be, they have a dull pallor to the skin, little blood vessels start to show, we call it telangiectasia, and lots of symptoms like that, loss of libido, loss of energy, they want to go to bed early in the evenings, they don't want to stay up and watch Jay Leno or David Letterman, I don't want to leave those guys out, they want to go to bed, and they've got no energy, and they want to sleep in as well.
So you're still running the same tests with the on these women that are coming in, and you yourself had said it. You're recognizing that with the women, the low progesterone levels will make the thyroid become hypo, because thyroid to function normally must produce adequate progesterone.
They all work together. All the hormone, the entire cycle is hand in hand, and that brings us back to the over-the-counter agents I was referring to, like DHEA and melatonin. They're both hormones. They could be obtained over the counter. They're very safe and very inexpensive. They're a few pennies a day. And just by taking that initially without even going to the physician, you'll probably see a change, some change in your condition if you're having any of these symptoms.
So what makes Anti-Aging Associates and Dr. John Dorsey different is, you mentioned it, there's not a shotgun approach at your center. The male who's 50 and the female that's 50 that's coming in with the same symptoms, loss of libido, fatigue, cognitive decline, you're going to run the chem panels, the thyroid, the endocrine testing, you're going to run the androgens, the testosterone, the progesterone, the estrogen. You're going to run all of those and look for the hormone deficiency, because you stated it. Stack of dominoes, they're all interrelated.
Very well put, Nancy.
Now, some of the signs and symptoms, I know that with women, they have this fear of synthetic estrogen, taking too much estrogen. How do you feel about
it? Well, I think they should have a fear, because synthetic estrogen is not the same thing as a bioidentical estrogen. Synthetic estrogens have been associated with cardiovascular problems such as clotting, blood clots, thrombotic episodes, and things of that nature. And I think that they have done some studies with this, and that's why there was a big scare a few years back with the estrogens they were taking orally, and they're synthetic, and they're obviously not the same as a bioidentical estrogen, which is one that is identical to what your body produces. And what's happened is, because the drug companies cannot get patents on the bioidentical hormones, they produce their own, and those are the ones that they market, because that's where the money is. And the reasons that we don't hear about the bioidentical hormones, which are compounded by pharmacies and are identical to what your body produces, is because there's no money in that from the gigantic pharmaceutical companies.
So in retrospect, initiation of estrogen replacement therapy at the time of menopause can be desirable today.
And it should be done.
Provided it's a bioidentical, if that can be tolerated by the patient.
And the women are very skeptical of doing this, because they've read so much, heard so much from their own doctors as well, who I don't think they, most of the physicians out there haven't at this point realized that there's a big difference between bioidentical hormones and the ones they're used to prescribing. And the reason they're used to prescribing the other ones is because the drug companies market them and put lots of money into them, and they don't want you using the ones that are so inexpensive and are compounded by the pharmacies. So the woman they've read things in Reader's Digest and other periodicals, and they become frightened, because the other ones, the synthetics, can be and are dangerous.
And the synthetics are the prescribed, is what you're stating.
That's right.
Prescribed. Correct. Okay. I want to get back quickly to the blood tests that are available through anti-aging. If you look at the women, you look at the men, and you look at the testing, quite similar because of the interrelationship between the hormones. For the women and for the men, you're running a CBC, a lipid profile. You're running your magnesium levels. You're running your metabolic panels. And you run your lipids on both men and women. Now, I know women, once they get around this menopause state, that's a period of time when they start getting very scanty or less frequent periods until 1 year afterwards, and they're in menopause, they stop periods entirely. They all of a sudden, it's got this adverse lipid fat effect. Boom, the cholesterol shoots up and that fat shoots up. I think it's more dominant or prevalent in the women. So you're running lipid levels on both men and women. You're running thyroid tests on both. Now, the hormones, you're also running quite similar on both. But what's a little bit different is you mentioned the men because of the prostate with prostate cancer. You're running, what, PSA tests?
Absolutely.
And that is a test for?
For prostatic cancer.
For prostatic cancer.
Screening test for prostatic cancer.
And we mentioned a little bit about osteoporosis, so obviously you're going to do either the urine test for the osteoporosis urine screen, or if they've had studies out there, what, the DEXA scans?
Right.
Okay. Well, we're being very thorough tonight. I think we're giving our listeners a lot of information here, which is what they had wanted. So, again, the menopause refers to a woman's last period, and this can be anywhere from 40s to 50s. Now, here's an interesting concept. You mentioned women are scared about estrogen, as well they should be, the synthetic. Tell you a quick story. The other day, guess who walked into my office? The wife of a pharmacist, asking about hormone therapy. Now, that really hits home on what you said. If I've got a pharmacist wife who does not do any natural, the pharmacist, by the way, I'd asked her, he does no compounding. He requires, of course, a prescription to do so. He does no bioidentical hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked myself for questions. I, of course, referred her to you. But her concern, and by the way, she did say you set her daughter's fracture about 10 years ago. But she did state that she knew absolutely nothing about it. She's 44 years old, and her menstrual cycle was becoming less frequent. She was having hot flashes. Her cholesterol was going up, and she hurt all over in her last DEXA scan. Didn't show osteoporosis. That's a CAT scan or a view of the bone. Did not show osteoporosis, but it showed bone thinning. What would you do for somebody like
that?
Well,
when there's a difference between osteoporosis and bone thinning, that's also referred to as osteomalacia.
Or osteopenia.
And bone thinning is where you actually lose the matrix, and you still have the calcium content, but the matrix itself, which is the filling scaffold, which the calcium is deposited on, has lost that as well. That's also due to nutritional deficiency and lack of exercise. And also can be due to certain medications that patients might be taking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's still, the treatment would be the same. It's the same course of treatment. I think that, as you said, she's 44 years of age. She's starting to go into menopause at this point. Her periods are becoming scant. And it's not surprising that she doesn't know about this, even with her husband being a pharmacist, because when you think about it, I would say at this point, and it won't be much longer, though, but at this point, about 90% of the physicians don't know about these things either.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're tied up in their own practices. They're doing what they do from day to day. And the pharmacists, 90% of those patients, the pharmacists are working in the pharmacies where they get the doctor's prescription for something. They don't actually compound these things themselves. It's off the shelf. It's made by a pharmaceutical company. The doctor sees an advertisement in one of the journals, or one of the sales reps comes into his office and tells him to prescribe such and such. And the doctor does that not knowing, and I'm one of those doctors. I didn't know that these other things were available. I didn't know what a bioidentical hormone was 5 years ago.
And that's something you did not tell our listening audience. You are, and you were trained. You took additional courses, and you became a member of the American Academy of Anti-Aging. Now, what's that all about?
Well, the A4M, which is, stands for the American Academy of Anti-Aging, was set up here about probably 10 years ago by some physicians who had an interest in not so much as anti-aging. They don't like to use that term much longer because it's, I don't know why, I kind of like that term, but they say, well, there's no such thing as anti-aging. We have to get old, and we do get old because we can't stop aging. So you can't do anti-aging. It's probably life extension or feeling better as you get older and looking and feeling and having more energy as you get older. But so at any rate, this academy was set about 10 years ago by some physicians who had an interest in this, and they realized that by replacing hormones that your body is deficient in, and by exercise, diet, nutrition, supplementation with calcium, magnesium, zinc, fish oil, flaxseed oil, other alpha omega-3s, that we can actually improve ourselves as we get older. We can look better, feel better, and maybe stay younger physiologically, not chronologically, but physiologically staying younger. And by doing the right thing, and that's what I've been doing for myself, and I got so interested, and I started doing it for my patients, my friends first, my patients now.
And that's one of the things that interested me about you. In fact, you took me to one of the courses. You obtained the knowledge base with which to treat your patients, and what impressed me was the fact that not only did you get the training, but you became part of an academy that actually promotes research into certain methods to retard and to treat age-related disease. Now, that's just not, you know, lack of libido. That's all age-related diseases, the cholesterol, the thyroid, the anemia, all of those, and produced the research and showed the research in the medical literature. That's not something that the layperson will get.
Well, yeah, you know what, Nancy, I started going to these meetings because I wanted to treat myself. I wanted to look into this stuff for my own personal interest. And once I started doing it for myself, I thought, you know what, I can do this for my friends, my family members, and now I'm doing it for patients because it's something I have an interest in. I feel better. I think that, I know that I look better. I mean, I've lost weight. The fat's gone. I used to have a big stomach. Now I can look at myself in the mirror. I mean, I do work out. I've been working out because of this whole thing. I have to exercise as part of it, eating the right types of foods. But I think it's important for all of us as we get older to probably try to feel better and look better. And if we do that, we're going to act better towards our friends and our neighbors. We're going to have a better attitude. We're going to have a better outlook on the future by keeping ourselves in tip-top optimal condition. And you can only do that by exercise, eating the right types of foods, avoiding the bad things in life, staying away from the stuff that's not good for you, and also, last but not least, supplementation with hormone replacement therapy.
Well, Dr. Dorsey, I'm going to tell the folks where they can reach you. Dr. John Dorsey is available at ocantiaging.com. He's located in Laguna Hills, California. And Dr. Dorsey, what's your number there?
Our number is 949-716-1900.
716-1900. Dr. Dorsey is joining Dr. Molina in Replacing Deficient Hormones, Part 2, Men and Women's Health. Well, Dr. Dorsey, not only have you, you know, it seems like you've been a student all your life, doesn't it?
I think, you know, I learn something every day. And I think that we all, if we want to, can learn something every day, and maybe more than just one thing every day. And I think that it's a joy to be able to learn and to study and read and listen to other people and get input from other. I can learn from my patients. I teach over at UCI, and I learn over there actually from the residents more than I teach them, I believe.
Mm. Well,
so I think it's a learning process. Life is something, it goes on from day to day, and each day there's something to be learned.
Well said, sir. And tonight we're bringing this to the public? Because personally, you could die waiting to hear, as a layperson,
sure.
You could die waiting to hear about these health discoveries.
I like that statement, yes.
We were talking a little bit about the medical research waiting to die before the layperson can hear about it. This has been out, you know, the effects of testosterone treatment on, let's just say, middle-aged obese men. It's been out in medical literature, peer-reviewed journals, that testosterone males that are treated with testosterone deficiency, they do have that decrease in fat mass. Their blood sugar or their insulin resistance improves. Their blood pressure improves with testosterone. Now, we're not talking stamina.
It's for your entire body. You know, there are more testosterone receptors in the heart than any other organ in the body. And the other day, a patient of mine came in and said, my doctor wanted to know why you put me on testosterone. She said that testosterone is bad for my heart. Mm. I said, well, where did she go to school? Turns out she went to the same school I went to, but I said, well, she didn't learn that in school, I don't think. And I didn't either. I learned it by going to the meetings. There are more testosterone receptors in the heart than any other organ in the body, and testosterone is good for the heart muscle.
And I'm looking right here at one of the research you gave me weeks ago. This is the Internal Journal of Obesity-Related Metabolic Disorder. Okay, that's quite a mouthful, but it states right here, testosterone treatment of middle-aged, abdominally obese men gives beneficial effects on well-being and the cardiovascular and diabetes risk profile. Right here.
Well,
right,
I'm living proof. My waist size went from 36. I had a 36-inch waist to a 33-inch waist. Mm. I went from 205 pounds to 185 pounds, and I am more solid now than I was 5 years ago.
And your stamina and fatigue has improved because you're almost late for the talk show tonight because you were on the golf course.
Well, I was on the golf course whipping my friends out there. I can drive the golf ball about 50 yards further than they can, and they're younger than I am.
No, wait a minute. I thought you played with your nephew.
I give credit for that. What's that?
I thought you played with your nephew, pretty much very younger than you.
Not today.
Oh.
I mean, no, not today. I was playing actually with three friends of mine, and including my brother, who I haven't been able to beat for the last 15 years.
Mm.
It
would suggest that aging can be associated with in males or in women, a decrease in testosterone.
Well, it is. I mean, when we age, our body does not produce the testosterone it did when we were younger. And that's why we replace it. And that's why I'm taking it.
So,
and that's why my friends take it, my patients take it, my family members take it.
So women do well with testosterone.
Absolutely. I think that women have to have it as well. Their body produces it when they're younger. Testosterone is actually produced by the ovaries, by the adrenal glands. And as women age as well, they lose testosterone just like males do. But women produce about one-tenth of what a male produces. And so for the replacement for a woman, it's generally about one-tenth of what a male would take.
Here's another study I'm looking at you gave me in Medical Crossfire, January 2001. There is a decline in cognitive ability with aging that's strongly associated with a decline in bioavailable testosterone. So one of the symptoms you had early on, fatigue, cognitive decline, testosterone helps.
Absolutely.
And low testosterone, goes on to say, low testosterone levels are associated with coronary artery disease, and that testosterone replacement improves myocardial function. Now, you said something about that. You said receptors in the heart.
Absolutely.
Well, I think at this stage that it goes beyond reproof. At this stage that most of the symptoms that men and women experience and the health that they experience can be associated with age-associated conditions or degenerative conditions that could improve with hormone replacement.
I agree. That's why we're here this evening. I think that patients need to be aware, but individuals need to be aware that what hormone replacement therapy has to offer for them. If you're feeling tired, if you feel like you're gaining weight, you don't have the energy levels you had before, you're losing muscle mass, you're losing libido, you're losing your cognitive abilities, I think that you're a candidate for hormone replacement therapy, whether it be testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, melatonin, DHEA. or a combination. I think that you have to be aware that it's available for you and will make you not only feel better, but look better as you age.
Well said. And one of the other symptoms you had was the cognitive decline. When you first got involved in this, I'm looking at the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America, 2000, it's Alzheimer's disease, characterized by age-related disorders. Studies have reported that there's increasing evidence that testosterone, especially bioavailable testosterone, decreases in age with older men and in postmenopausal women. A study reports that treatment with testosterone assists Alzheimer's.
And that goes for men and women both.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, not many of my patients know about this.
I mean, whoever would have thought, if you're a woman 10 years ago, that you should be taking testosterone?
Well, absolutely.
In fact, I don't think testosterone was being used in women 10 years ago. And it wasn't until these doctors who got ahead and developed an interest in this found that testosterone was effective and useful in women who have reached menopause.
And now that the study came out with the synthetic hormone replacement and the incidence of breast cancer with that, when the studies have come out, now the women are scared. So they're looking for alternatives, and it's our job to get the information out.
That's right.
I understand there's every year you have to go through, what, CEUs, continuing education for your certificate in I hate to say anti-aging, but you like the term.
I like the term. You know, I think we do, but you know what? I look forward to those meetings because I'm learning something every time I go. And it's not like when you've been an orthopedic surgeon for like 30 years and you've gone to the meetings year in, year out. And after a while, I've lost interest in that, where I'm picking up interest in this new field of anti-aging because I'm aging. I'm getting older like all of my friends. And it's one of these things I really have a definite interest in because I want to be able to be healthy as I age.
So it's not enough that the majority of people say, gee, I feel okay. They have to feel well.
Yeah, I feel okay. I thought I was doing fine until I started taking these hormone replacement therapies, and I realized that, hey, I feel 100% better than I felt, you know, a month or 2 months before. And it was all, I owe it all to my friend, my colleague who put me on this 5 years ago, and I haven't looked back.
Well, you know, one of my patients brought in Prevention Magazine. Prevention, you know, the little thing that sits around your waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
The Prevention Magazine, and it was just, well, maybe about 5 years ago, that if women took testosterone, it helps, especially postmenopausal women, it helps to add muscle.
That's one of the things it does. It increases muscle mass and decreases body fat. And testosterone does it not only for men, but for women as well. And I think that there are many things that testosterone does and that people are not aware of. And as I said before, I did not even realize that your body, a woman's body, would produce testosterone.
Mm.
When actually, I didn't learn that in medical school. I just thought the ovaries made estrogen, the testicles made testosterone. But actually, the ovaries make testosterone and estrogen. I was not aware of that. I learned that in the last 5 years.
And we're not going to worry about the woman's voice deepening at all, right?
No. That's another thing. You know, the women will say, well, I'm afraid to take this. I know I'm going to be growing hair on my face. I'll have facial hair. I'll have a deep voice. I'll turn into a man.
Mm.
I said, that's not the case at all. No, you're going to be more of a woman than you ever were if you take a small dose, which is one-tenth of the dose that the male will take.
I'm glad you said that. So the big difference in the dosing between the male and the female
is one-tenth.
Okay. That's
of course, it's tailored to what your laboratory test would show. And there are no two people alike. Everybody's different. But basically, it's about one-tenth of what a male would take.
And speaking of which, I know last month we brought this up, but once you obtain the baselines at the Anti-Aging Center, you go ahead and you follow up in about, what, 4 to 6 weeks?
We'll see the patient back in about 6 weeks to see how they're doing, and we'll run laboratory testing in about three to six months.
Okay.
Depending on what their testing was the first time around.
Okay. I know that I had a patient in 34 years old. 34 years old was running into problems, and her medical doctor just didn't know. He just didn't know. had a real knee-jerk reaction to me suggesting that she was going into a perimenopause situation. He thought she was too young. But you know what? He ran a few of the tests, still hasn't done anything about it, but nevertheless, tests that we requested, and sure enough, she was. Her FSH was changed. I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. Well, we're not. I thought we were getting a caller in, Dr. Dorsey. So the key test was the FSH in her, and her FSH levels, when FSH levels will rise when the ovaries stop producing enough estrogen. And so that, of course, was a signal. She was entering into it at her age.
Mm-hmm.
But he had such a knee-jerk response, and I think he just explained it. When I went to medical school, they didn't teach, so that could be the same situation. And you, of course, have gone out and gotten more education as a result. Well, Dr. Dorsey, we're going to tell the folks again how they can find you, which is at ocantiaging.com is the website. Dr. John Dorsey, orthopedic surgeon and anti-aging specialist, one of the leading specialists of Southern California, who's with us this evening, is located in Laguna Hills, California. And a phone number that they can reach you at, maybe schedule an appointment, Dr. Dorsey?
Nancy, again, that's 949 area code and 716-1900.
1900. Well, again, I thank you so much for coming in. We have a few minutes before we close. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listening audience?
Well, number one, I'm glad they're here this evening listening to us. I think that the main thing is for them to realize that there's a lot of living left to do here on this earth, and to live it best would be to maintain the right types of diet, eat the right types of food, avoid the bad things in life, too much fat, too much sugar, or too much of anything for that matter. And to exercise daily, not daily, but, well, daily exercise is good, but at least three times a week. And then to think about, if they're having some of these symptoms, hormone replacement therapy. But some things they can do are to go and take supplements, calcium, magnesium, zinc, flaxseed, fish oil, and then, of course, we said earlier, the melatonin, which is over-the-counter, and the DHEA. 50 milligrams for a man, 25 milligrams for a woman, and the melatonin would be 3 milligrams a day for either male or female. And I think that if they're going to look good, feel good, be good, they can do it by doing those things.
Well said. Well, we're here with Dr. John Dorsey, and Dr. Dorsey, I just wanted to say that you're probably the Louis Pasteur of the anti-aging movement right now in Southern California. And I really want to express my deep gratitude for your being with us this evening. I think that this is just instrumental to help our patients out there reverse these myths, some of the medical myths that, you know, age 32, I can't be going into perimenopause. And the fact that you're going to help them to reverse not only situations of osteoporosis, but coronary artery diseases, the obesity issues, the fat bellies, the fact that they can function again and enjoy life. Thanks to you, Dr. John Dorsey. Appreciate
Oh, thank you,
being
Nancy Molina. I hope you have a wonderful month. We'll be talking soon. And
thank you, sir. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.